Oh, Christ is enough. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He is enough. He is all sufficient. He's everything I need. Amen. And isn't it a privilege that we get to come together and worship God? And that He's given us the tools to worship. You know, He's given us music. He's given us His word. He's given us prayer. And we can just come before Him and declare that today, that Christ is enough. And I love, you know, it's kind of based on some of the, one of these old campfire songs we used to sing. You know, I've decided to follow Jesus. I learned that one when I was a little kid. Yeah, no turning back. No turning back. And though none go with me. You know, I think that's one of the hard lines in there, because sometimes you go by yourself. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Your family's not going with you. You're having a hard time bringing your kids to come along. You know, they're going their own way right now. Your parents don't understand. Your friends don't understand. Though no one goes with me, I'm still going to follow you, Jesus. And that's what we're saying. That's what it is. It's, I was reading that this morning, actually, that Jesus actually said, don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hated me. The world will hate you. And I'm just so glad that I got at least a few people who don't. that we actually don't go alone. Yeah, that's good. I love you too. And I think that's really that's the heartbeat of everything that happens. If it's not done in love, if we don't prophesy in love, if we don't preach in love, if we don't, you know, serve at the kitchen in love, it's just really noisy. It just makes a lot of noise. I don't want my life to be noisy. I want my life to be filled with love. And what I was saying, though, is that, you know, we get to do this together. We're a community. We walk together. We walk this road together. And it isn't always easy. And sometimes one of us walks with a limp. And then we get underneath them, and we help them, we carry them, we support them, we pray for them, because that's what it means to be a body. And I've decided to follow Jesus. That's a proclamation that we all make. That's where it is for me. I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus, and I'm going to do it to the end. And I know I don't do it perfectly. I know I do that sometimes in a flawed way, but I am determined to continue to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Him until my last breath. And I'm thankful. You, because I know you are too. We're doing the same thing. The last couple days we've been in a men's retreat, and that's why we're missing a bunch of the guys here today. There's a few of us that came back, Don and Gaston and myself. You can see we survived, so that's good news. The awesome thing this time around was that we had food made for us. So, wow, we had some amazing food. We had a really good time. We studied the, our whole theme was just one word, team. Or if you take that into, you know, a biblical word, it would be body. We're the body of Christ. I'm going to play this. Just give me a couple seconds. We'll play that. And Chad's here too. You know, we just had a great time talking about the body of Christ, talking about what it means to be a team. And that as a team, we do things together. We don't all have the same gifts. We have different gifts. But that our gifts complement each other. And one of the verses we read yesterday was that when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. When one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. And that's really what it means to be a body. And that sometimes we have the ability, it's kind of a crazy thing that we do, but sometimes we have the ability to make each other suffer, or to bring pain or gossip or to bring hurt on one another. And really it's such a counterproductive thing to do, because when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. So if you make that person over there suffer, you're really making yourself suffer, right? So that's what it means to be the body of Christ. We are one team. And so this, what we're going to show you here is an exercise that I did with the guys yesterday. Everyone was given 20 strands of spaghetti, a yard of tape, a yard of rope, and a marshmallow. And the point of this exercise was to build team and to work with four different guys and to see how high you could get the marshmallow to stand on the spaghetti. So I'm going to show you what we did here and then say a couple more words about it, but it's all about how we work together. And this shows you what you guys missed out on. Okay, so why don't we turn the lights on? I want you, it's only a minute, so let's play that.
I think that's the idea.
Let's see.
See, now I can afford a bit of a nice stability.
Okay, let's see. Let's go
right here. Yeah,
okay, we're live. Okay, we got it in a couple more inches.
Well, we could
See, now it's getting real.
Who's sharing?
So do you want to go to Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay, this is...
Too much weight on the top. We break that off. We're gonna have to settle for just stuff here.
Can you shove it in there?
Some of that paper.
That would be better, eh?
So. Use what's there already.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, we'll get Jeff to try and fire.
Yeah. Is that work?
I think it's looping now. So we had a lot of fun, and a couple of those groups really cheated horribly. I'm sad to report that they didn't follow the rules. I think that. Actually, probably Chad, when I look back, even though there was a little bit of, you know, the misunderstanding of the rules, you guys probably had the best. And I would guess that you probably had about 20 inches. Your marshmallow got about 20 inches off the ground. Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah, I'm with you, buddy. Especially since all the other guys aren't here, we can say that, right? One of the things that we talked about was that when they do this with this same exercise with a group of lawyers, and everyone's a lawyer, they usually, the average is that they get 10 inches, that this marshmallow will be 10 inches off the ground. When they do it with guys from MIT who are business graduates, they get it about 16 inches off the ground. When they're all CEOs, when everyone in the group is a CEO, they make it around 20 inches off the ground. But when kindergarten kids do this, they consistently get it 24 inches off the ground. And this is a certain exercise that's been done all over the world with all different kinds of groups. And kindergarten kids, one of the reasons why that happens is kindergarten kids actually start with the marshmallow. And they feel how heavy it is, and then they put stuff in. And most grown-up men and women, we start with the spaghetti, and then we hope that the marshmallow at the end is going to not be too heavy, and we cross our fingers, or as the guy said yesterday, we pray. One of the cool things about this exercise is that when you mix up the group, and you have one lawyer, and you have one person who's an administrative assistant, or one person who's a teacher, you get way further ahead. You use your gifts. People bring different things to the table and different ideas. And one of the other reasons why kindergarten kids are so successful at this is because they're not afraid to try things. So they'll try all kinds of different prototypes and different ways of doing it. And finally, they'll figure this thing out, in a way that, is successful. Sometimes as adults, we have a harder time with that. Anyways, I don't want to go through the whole thing with you again, but just showing you that we had some fun. We had a lot of community building. One of the things that really was cool yesterday is we spent about an hour just looking at each other and saying, here's what I see in you. I see that you're courageous, or I see that you have such a gift of service, or we see this gentle spirit in you. And I mean, this is men, come on. These are guys who eat meat, all the time. We're from Alberta, right? We don't cry. We're guys who, we're not tender. But there was an amazing tenderness and openness and just really looking into each other and speaking life. It was awesome. I can't express how awesome that was. And affirming. When someone looks at you and they say, here's what I see. I see God in you because of this. Or here's a gift that I recognize that maybe you don't even recognize it yourself. But here's what I see. I see this gift in you. And it's so good for the body that you use that gift. Those kind of things were really just spoken freely. I've gone long enough, but I just want to thank God in prayer. And then Crystal's going to share a few things this morning before Pauline preaches. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for the men of this church. Thank you that we're blessed with many men, that this is a church where it's okay to be a man and to love God and to express that love and to express that tenderness and to express our need, that we have a need for you, and that we need to be saved, and that we desire to live for you all of our lives. So thank you for our men, and pray, God, today that as many of them are coming back this afternoon, you'll give them safety. And, Lord, that you'll continue to build the team that is known as Team Potters. Just continue to build this body, God. I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would just infer all the gifts of the Holy Spirit And we declare today that we are ready and we are willing and we are able to receive whatever gifts that you choose to give us, Lord, and that we will use those gifts to build the kingdom of our God. So build your church and build your body. Make us strong, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I just pray for Crystal as she brings an encouraging word. Just speak through her. Thank you for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dan always asked me just like 2 days before. He goes, "Oh, I think God wants you to share." So then I have to really dig in, and I have to figure out, okay, God, what do you want me to share this morning? And I always love it when people give their testimonies. So, but I've given my testimony a few times. So I'm going to try to kind of weave a little bit in today, just what God's been doing in my life. But I guess I want to start with a question. It's just a rhetorical question, so just think about it. You don't have to answer this, but so why do you come here? Why do you come here? Because I think sometimes we come here for a variety of reasons. Some of them pretty good, and maybe some of them pretty not good. Maybe we just have a friend here, and we like to hang out with our friend. That's good, you know? I don't know. It's just been... God has just been showing me in my life that just even what Stan was talking about, just the whole thing about being a body, being loving each other and learning together is so important. That's God's heart. So I was reading this today or yesterday, 1 Corinthians 2, and I shared this with Donna yesterday. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Isn't that a great verse? That is so good. That is what we speak. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. So yes, when we come here, this is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. And I pray that that's kind of one of the reasons why you come here, because the Spirit just draws you in here. And maybe, frankly, maybe you don't even know why you came. Maybe you just came and sat down and you don't really know why. But I guarantee you, it's because of the Spirit of God that's in you. I mean, I've been having this year off, and frankly, I'm really loving it a whole lot. In fact, I'm taking next year off, too. At first, it was really, in September, it was tricky because you're going, okay, who am I? Like, what am I doing? Like, what's my purpose? Who am I? Who am I? But God has been giving me a lot of time to spend with Him. And you know what? That is really, that has just been a great blessing in my life. And I've so enjoyed this, and in a variety of ways. And so I've been not only just reading the word, but I've been trying to listen to Him. Okay, God, what are you trying to say here? What are you trying to say? And praying, and not just offering up prayers, but really praying and trying to listen again to God and saying, okay, God, what are you saying here? What do you want me to hear? And this is an adventure. And getting to know God in a whole nother level, it's very cool. So I guess that's my question for you today, too, is, so most of us here, we know Jesus. Most of us do. Most of us maybe have been baptized. Maybe some of us haven't, but most of us have. So what is changing in your life? Is anything changing in your life? Are you kind of like doing this? I think we need to ask ourselves that, because sometimes you just go along life and you just keep going and you just keep doing the same things and you just keep, it just keeps like a cycle. And you just keep doing the same things and you just doing the same things. Have your prayers changed since you became a Christian? Have they changed? Have you seen God in a new way? Have you seen him do things that you're going, whoa, that could only be from God? Have you seen that? Because he is so amazing. He is so big, and we get to know him. We get to know him. And so I think we do need to ask ourselves these questions. Are you hungry for him? Or are you kind of just satisfied and you're going, well, I'm doing okay. I'm doing good. I'm doing okay. Are you hungry? And let me tell you something. The more time you spend with God in the Word and the more time you spend praying with him, the hungrier you get. It's different than when you eat food. When you get food, you get full, usually. But when you seek God, you don't get full. You keep getting hungrier because you know there's more. There's more. There's more. It's so cool. And I was reading the other day, I was reading this devotion, and they said sometimes when you become a Christian, it's like you're wading in a shallow pool, and you got your fishing rod, and you're just kind of fishing around, and you're not getting much. You're getting a little, maybe a nibble here and there. They're not much. And it's nice, it's sunny, and it's okay. It's good, you know? But God is standing deeper, and he's going, hey, I'm inviting you to go on this adventure. I'm inviting you to go deeper with me. You know, I love our church. I love Potter's Hands. I think we have some awesome people in here. I also believe that we have a ton of new Christians in here, new Christians that are just doing this adventure. They're just starting out. And I mean, that's another thing I've been enjoying this year, just getting to know people, taking them out for lunch and chatting with them and getting to know their hearts. And yes, we in this church, we have a ton of issues. We do. We have a ton of them. And it's always rocky. We have rocky roads. And you know what? It's okay. I think this is okay because that is how we are going to learn. That is how we're going to learn. If it's just nice and fine and everything, we're not going to be challenged to dig deeper and to see who God is and what he can do for you. I really believe that. And so I pray today that we can just do that, that we can stand in the deeper water of God, and even to the point where we cannot touch the bottom anymore, can't touch the bottom. We have to rely on him to hold us up and to teach us what he wants us to hear. And, you know, and so I've also been going to the kitchen a lot more just because I have time. And I love it. And people in Potter's Hands, we have a great thing there. So I invite everybody and anybody here, if you have time to come to that kitchen for coming to lunches and suppers and stuff and breakfasts, it's really cool. We have a whole group of people, many of them who are lost, many of them who are wandering, many of them who are doing life by themselves. They need a friend. They need us. We get to go there. We can go there and we can talk to them and we can share with them what we have, the hope that we have. And so, anyway, I'm getting a little sidetracked there, I think. I just want to encourage us. I just so feel this has just been on my heart. We need to step deeper into that water, and if we're not hungry, we need to ask God to open up our glands, our mouths, open them up so that we can feed on what he wants to give us, because he wants to give us so much, and it's so much better. Like, some of us are going in a circle, and we're doing good, and then we're not doing good, and then we stumble, and we fall, and then we get back up, and we go, and we just a circle. And you know what? I just don't think God wants us to be that way. I totally, he's going, come on, you can do this. I'm going to help you do this. And we don't need to stay where we're at. We don't need to stay there. We just totally don't need to stay there. one thing that God has been saying to me is that I need to get rid of the things in my life that are keeping him, keeping me away from him. The things that are totally distracting me. And that can be as little as playing Sudoku. Honestly. Things that are too important in our lives for no good reason. And again, you know, if that's happening in your life, we can ask God to help us just to be hungry for him. But another thing that really helps is being with people. Being with people who have a deep hunger for God. When you're with somebody that loves God and just really seeks God, you want that. You want that because it's God. It's God in that person. And you want that. There's something in you. That's when the hunger starts. And you just want more of it. And so today, I just want to leave you with that. I just want to leave you with that. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. He's given us something enormous. And I don't think we've even begun to touch the surface. I think we've got lots of things to do yet. So, I hope you can answer that question. What are you doing here today? What are you doing here today? I hope you want to be filled. I hope you want to hear from God. I'm excited and I'm praying for you, Paula, and as you give the message that our hearts may receive that word. Paula is a godly man. He's such a godly man, and we get to receive some words from God from him. So be hungry for God. Thanks.
Why don't you stay up there? Just pray with me. Okay. Good word. What she said. Pauline, come on up. I think it'd be great if both Crystal and I pray for you. And you know, and there's always something here that if you're open to God, if you are just ready to receive it, there is something here for you. You can also come here and go, I don't like anything, and you'll find something wrong with everything. But I believe that I don't remember ever leaving a service here without God saying something or without feeling his presence or without knowing that this was a good thing to do. So a lot of it is what we put into this. We're going to put something into it, and we're going to get something out of it. It's always a pleasure to listen to you preach. Mm-hmm. So my wife is going to put her hand on you.
God, I lift up Paul in today. I thank you for him. God, thank you for the spirit that is in his heart. God, thank you for the love that he has for you, Lord, for the humility that comes with him. Mm-hmm. Father, I thank you for this man of God, and I pray that as he speaks, you will speak through him to us. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Of us who have been in the house of the Lord, we'd like to bless you in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who is a risen Savior. There is a tendency in the Christendom that they celebrate Easter only once a year, which is, to me, is not very fitting, but we need to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day of our life. So today I'll be still touching on the topic about the power of the resurrection, but more specifically directed to the church. In fact, Sister Crystal has touched upon that message. So, actually, I can sit down and because she's touched upon that message already. So, we'll be reading from the book of Ephesians. You know, the main theme in a vision is about the church. That's the main theme of that book, of that writing by Paul. If it can be put on the screen, we'll read from Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse number 19. Until verse 23. If you don't mind, I'd like to invite you to read these verses together with me. 1, 2, 3. Let's start now. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. As I said this about the power of God promised and given to his body, to his church, and the use of the word church here is not the structure, not the building, but you and me, the habitation of God. We have heard the messages in series in the past 4 weeks that in fact that we are the address, the residence, the place where the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, resides. Well, to begin with, this text might be difficult to understand or to interpret, but Paul makes it very crystal clear here. That God's mighty power that has exalted or raised Christ to be the ruler and authority of all in the universe, and also to be the head of the body, which is the church. This power, this mighty power, this awesome power is presently made available to you and to me today. The difficult thing to understand is when I don't conduct my life according to the Word of God, that will make it difficult to understand that this presently available power available to me, but I feel as if I was defeated. Sometimes through our life, we discredit the gospel. If we live in a worldly way, if we spend our money just like the world spends their money, if we have the same lifestyle as the lifestyle of the world, it'll make it very difficult for the world to understand this text, because there is some kind of disconnect between what a believer claims and what the gospel says. We have been praying, we long to see the expressions and the manifestations of the Holy Spirit or the power of God in our life or corporately in our church here, so that he can confirm his words with signs and miracles and wonders, word of prophecies, word of knowledge, speaking in tongues. But let's always remember, so that the outside world does not confuse, we need to align our life with the truth of the gospel. We have read this passage that actually this is the prayer of the man of God, the prayer of Paul for the church, that their eyes or the eyes of their heart may be enlightened. There's some kind of veil, and unless that veil is lifted up, they would not be able to understand or to see this mighty power that Paul is talking about. So what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us, or in other words, in us, in you, in me? What is that surpassing great power? Well, it takes the Holy Spirit to anoint our eyes to see that truth. Doesn't originate from our own self. And I know this does not happen overnight. Just like Paul says in his writing in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, if you read the first 20 verses of Philippians chapter 3, Paul is showing there that knowing God's mighty power is a lifelong process. The way how you knew God 1 year ago is different than the way how you know him today, because you have received more revelations today. That's the essence of what Sister Crystal just spoke about just now here. So Paul's aim is, I'm quoting from the book of Philippians chapter 3, and it is in verse 10. I'm quoting his utmost desire. He said like this, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And also, if you continue reading in verse 12, chapter 3 of the book of Philippians, he adds, not that I have already obtained it. In other words, he's saying, I have not become perfect yet. I'm still an unfinished product. I'm still in the process. But in spite of my imperfection, one key word, he says, I press on. So never give up. Let's press on. This shows the need that we should be continuing to grow in the faith and in the knowledge of the Word of God. so that we can lay hold of what God has prepared for us. In essence, Paul is saying that God wants us to understand. So this is a prayer of Paul, like the prayer for knowledge. Knowledge is not just obtained by the power of your head, but knowledge or knowing comes also from experiencing something. And this is more important. God wants us to understand the vastness, the hugeness, the magnitude of His mighty power that has saved us and that has exalted Christ over all, so that we will rightly represent Him here in this life, now on earth. That is the whole purpose. And let's never forget, let me remind you again, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that saved me and you. Same power. So in other words, I know this is a mystery. This, in line with what Colossians 1:27 says, that Christ is already in you, the hope of glory. Now going back to the passage again, Ephesians 1:19-20, that mentions about the power that raised Jesus from the dead, as I said, is the same power that we have experienced, that has saved us. You may want to ask, what is the greatest power? What is the mightiest power ever shown or unleashed on this earth? Well, if you remember history, you might say, you might quote, well, it was the atomic bomb in Hiroshima or Nagasaki in Japan in 1945. Not really. Maybe you want to say, oh, it is the power of the earthquake. Maybe it is almost 9 on the Richter scale. It is very powerful, but not that one. It is not a volcanic power. It is not the power of the wind. It is not the power of the flood. It is not even the power like Niagara Falls. No. But it is the power of the Holy Spirit, which is made available to every believer and promised to the church of God to be used by the church. If you see Niagara Falls, if that power is not made into use, we'll clearly say, obviously, we'll say, what a waste. What a waste. But in the same way, let's think for a moment today. That mighty power of the Holy Spirit made available by our Father to us. If we do not plug in to Him, if we do not make good use of that power, which has been made available and offered to us, then in the same way we can say, alas, what a waste. So it is the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That is the mightiest power ever expressed on earth by God. You remember that Satan and all his evil forces tried to keep Jesus from rising from the dead, but they could not. They have been defeated. And Paul says here, if you see the diction or the way how he chooses the word, he's not just saying, well, the power of God is just sufficient. No. Our God is an omnipotent God. His power is not just sufficient for us every day, but more than enough, more than sufficient. That's why Paul says the greatness of his power. I don't think he's using too much superlatives here. But it is appropriate. He even says the surpassing greatness of his power. One on top of another. Surpassing greatness of his power. Well, in Greek, power is dunamos. From that word, we have our English word after it has been Latinized to be dynamite. So it says, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Strength is like the energy. Well, again, in other word, energia. Energia is something which is working, right? Active. So after the working of his counsel, it says in the Bible, it is after that manner that this power is working in us. Whenever the power is present in our life, you will see the result. It will accomplish the purpose it sets forth. It is interesting also to note here that Paul is not praying that God would give us this mighty power. Check your Bible. No. Paul is not saying, please, God, give this mighty power to the church, to your body. No. But rather, he says, please, Lord, open the eyes of their heart that they may know, that they may know, that they may see, that they may be enlightened to know this power which has been already displayed in their lives. But this is only applicable if you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, as sanctifier in your life. My brothers and my sisters, let's talk a little bit about being born again. For someone to be being born again, it takes the power of God. It's an act of God, so to speak. It's an act of God that raises that person from death to life. Because that person cannot say, well, I think I will decide to be raised from death. He cannot decide anything like that. Or in other words, you cannot help God out in the process. It requires God's sovereign, mighty power for someone to be raised from spiritual death unto spiritual life. Or in other words, to be being born anew by the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, let me say this repeatedly. That power is available to the church after Jesus has defeated sin, suffering, and death, and sent the power of the Holy Spirit to reside in the heart of every believer. How do you know that you have been truly been born again? How do you know? Well, if you truly believe that Jesus has shed his blood on the cross for you, and you know that he is the only help for your life, and that help doesn't come from anywhere else, but only from him, then you know that you have been born again. You have been made new creation in Christ Jesus. Then you know that your eyes has been, your blind eyes have been opened to see that mighty power of God. Your blind eyes have been opened to see that your only need is in Christ. He has opened your eyes to believe the gospel. If he has not done that, it will be like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, that all this talk about the Bible, about faith, about loving God, about resurrection power, it will sound like foolishness. Unless he opens the eyes of your heart. Because the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to me, to us, to you, it is the power of God who are being saved, to those who are being saved. And Romans 1:16 also, Paul says that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because I know, not just head knowing, because I know I experience it. It is the power of God unto salvation. So when God has raised you to new life in Christ, what will be the effect? Well, your desire will change. Your lifestyle will change. Your direction will change. Your aim in life will change. Every facet of your life will be changed. But again, let me say, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. But as long as you are plugged in to that new life from Christ, day by day, you will experience this change. In the past, you used to be avoiding meetings like this. You don't want to be in the midst of believers. But as soon as God touches your heart, you long to be with the people of God, worshiping God in the church. You didn't want to sing songs of praises to God. But as soon as God touches your heart, it is your joy to worship and to give him praise. You didn't want to pray before, but then the Holy Spirit comes into your life And then you pray with your mind, you pray with your spirit. You love to be in the presence of God. Paul says about the heavenly places here. What is this heavenly places? Well, that's the place where the glory of God resides. That's the place where Christ dwells. That is the place where he, in his immortality, enjoying and exercising the dominion over angels. Because that's the place where he's being exalted right now. He's not in the grave anymore. He's up there praying for us, watching for us, blessing us, praying to the Father, and then exercising that greatness also over the angels. I know today it has not come into reality for 100% because here, down here on earth, there are still many people who refuse the lordship of Jesus in their life. But speaking about these powers, Paul mentions, I think there are four words here he mentions, rule, authority, power, and dominion. This is the way Paul is telling us that the power of Jesus is above and beyond and encompassing all and every spiritual forces. Whether it be angelic or demonic. That refers to those spiritual powers. And also this shows about the gradation of the ranking of power among angels and the demons. In other words, there is nothing so high, there's nothing so elevated, there's nothing so excellent which is not under the power of Jesus, the risen Savior. Sickness, death, suffering, power of this world, under the feet of Jesus. And Paul also says about the time. Not only in this age, he says, but also in the one to come, in the ages to come. So Christ's power, this mighty power which is made available for us, is not for just a period of time. Christ's authority is not just for a period of time, but for all eternity. And the day is coming when you and I will see that everything will be subjected to the power of Christ. Well, what is the original? If you see the Bible, if you read the book of Psalm, the Bible clearly says about the honor given to Christ after he has defeated our enemies. You read in Psalm 110 and verse 1, the Bible says there that the Lord says, the Lord means Yahweh, the Lord says to my Lord means Jesus Christ who has been risen, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. Oh, a wonderful day to be, to see that the whole being, the whole creation will be subjected to the power of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Praise the Lord. You make that confession out of your own willing heart. Nobody coerces you. That is the working of the Holy Spirit. But there are some people out there, one day, there's no choice. They'll have to acknowledge, yes, Jesus is Lord, by force. They don't have any other choice rather than acknowledging that Jesus is in all and above all. And that honor, remember, is never given to the archangel, never given to any created being, never given to any well-known, renowned evangelist or preacher. But the honor given by God to Jesus, sit and I'll make your enemies to be your footstool. It's only given to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is of the same nature of just like the Father. My dear brothers and my dear sisters, I'd like to have your attention on one verse which is written in Psalm chapter 8 and in verse 6. It is penned by David under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit when he reflected on the honor given by God to man. Because that verse says that God gave to man power to rule over God's creation on earth, here on earth. And you remember at the beginning of the Bible in the book of creation, that is Genesis, God commanded that man would fill the earth and rule it, and having dominion over all the animals. It is in chapter 1, the book of Genesis. But then, the first Adam lost it by sin, by disobedience. But good news is, the last Adam, the second Adam, our loving Lord Jesus Christ has regained it for you and for me. I used to have a book, very thick one, written by John Milton when I studied literature. The title of that book is Paradise Lost. That's bad news. Mankind has lost paradise. But good news is, through Jesus Christ, paradise has been regained. I know the complete fulfillment of this word awaits Christ's return and final victory over the enemies. But remember, his resurrection is the guarantee. All things, including the terrible forces of evil you can ever imagine, you can ever think of, in the heavenly places, are all under Christ's feet even now. I know Satan is not yet put into the bottomless pit. He is still operating with all those evil forces. But remember, the power that is given to the enemy is under the control of God. In other words, Satan is only able to operate to the extent that God permits. If you have a dog, so he can run away wildly, you have a leash, right? So he can control how far he or she can go. Same thing with this enemy. The enemy is on leash. Before I close this message today, I'd like you to understand, my dear brother and my dear sister, it would be a waste of time for us to come to church, to pray, to read the Bible, if we do not make use of this mighty power that he has made available for us. So make good use of it. Secondly, I'd like to say in closing that the world does not see this risen Christ. They do not see. But they see the church. They see me. They see you. They do not see the exalted Christ. But they see his body, the church. So let's, by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, let's represent Christ here on earth through our life in a proper manner as our risen head. Remember, you also are risen with Christ. I've never seen one head is risen and then the body is still left somewhere else, buried on the ground. It is together. The head and the body is a union because there is an organic or living relationship or union between the head and the church or the body. Amen? We need to remember this. There's got to be a living union, an organic union. Relationship should be developed day by day, not just the head knowledge, not just by reading of the Bible to fill our head, but this living relationship or organic union with Christ is very important in order for us to enjoy the benefit of this mighty power of Christ. So accept this today from me. If you don't hear this again, this mighty power is already in you if you are a believer. Make use of it in this life. And then the world will know there is Christ in that man. There is Christ in that woman. God bless you all.
Thank you. Thank you. The mighty power of God is in you. And that all things are under Christ's foot, right? He has the power. He's demonstrated that power, and it's a power that we already have. It's available to us. That's a good message. That's something encouraging. You agree with that? Amen? I mean, it's okay. We got to loosen up a little bit. There's Rob's leading the way here, you know? Praise God. This is good news. You know, this is good news. God has done such a great thing for us. The Father, through his Son, has given us victory. Amen? Amen. And I've just been praying while Pauline was preaching, you know, God, how do we respond to this? What do we do now? We hear this message of the power of God that's been unleashed through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the fact that there's power in the resurrection that is that is for me. I have power because of this resurrection. And one of the things that I think both Crystal and Pauline were saying today is that sometimes we forget about that power. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel like giving up. And I believe that our response to this message, I just believe the way God's leading me, at least at this point, one of the things that he just really speaks to my heart is, man, it's time not to give up. It's time to carry on. And so I want to just conclude the service today on that note. And maybe Marg, you just go on the piano. And I just want to ask you this question today. Maybe let's just bow our heads first. Just bow our heads. God, we love your word. And we thank you for the clarity of it today. We thank you for the reminder that we have such power. And that you have put all things under your feet. And that we are raised with you. You are the living head, but we are raised with you as the body of Christ. And we want to press on today. So just ask, Lord, today that you'll show us how you want us to press on. And that we are not of those who shrink back. We are not of those who give up. But that we are going to continue the race. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to think today, as you hear this message, and as you look at your life, because I think, you know, in talking to some of you this week, and even a couple of you before the service today, you can just keep your eyes closed or not. Doesn't matter. There's no rules here. But I know that some of you are discouraged. Sometimes we grow discouraged. We think, enough of this. I'm tired. I've done this for a long time. And I'm going to give up. I'm not going to do this anymore. Even though you know that it's what God wants you to do. And I'm thinking about things like praying for people. How many of us have given up praying for someone? Maybe we didn't even mean to stop. But we haven't seen the results. And we're growing weary. And we just don't feel like it anymore. We've prayed for this person, or maybe it's your son or your daughter. Or maybe it's a husband, someone you love very much. And you're thinking, I've prayed for this person for years and there's been no results. And I kind of gave up doing it. One of the things we heard today is that we need to just keep pressing on. Or maybe you're disappointed with yourself because you've fallen back into that same hole again. I think there's a few of us here, you know what I'm talking about. You're disappointed because you slipped, because you didn't think you'd be back in this place again, and you're back in that place. And I want to give you this message. It's time to press on. It's time to carry on again. Don't quit. Do not give up. There may be even a few of us who say, you know what, I don't even want to live anymore. And the enemy's been planting those seeds in your mind where he says, why live? Why bother? Why don't you just end it all? Why would you press on? There's no point. I think that there may be a few of us here today that those suicidal thoughts, those thoughts of just quitting, opting out, those thoughts are coming to you, and they're not from God. These are not the words of Jesus, who has all the power and who promises you all the power. These are the words of an enemy who's been defeated, who wants you to choose death instead of choosing life. And I'm probably able to come up with five or six other kinds of examples, but you know. I think if you think about this, you know what you want to quit, what you want to give up. You no longer want to fight for this anymore. You're tired of fighting. I believe that our response today to God's word, you know, Crystal was telling us that it's about being hungry. We're going to pray today that God just keep me hungry. I want to be hungry. I want to have this godly hunger for you. I want to continue to desire you, Jesus, with all my heart. I want to be hungry. I want the spiritual hunger in me. And I don't want to settle. I mean, how many of us are settling? We're not reading our Bible. We've given up on that. We're not reading our Bible. We're not praying. We're not coming to church very often. Crystal talked about hunger. Pauline talked about the power of God. He talked about pressing on. When he spoke that word, that one line, he said, we got to press on. We're not going to give up. We are not like those who shrink back. And so I challenge you, on the basis of the word of God, on the basis of the truth that you've heard today, to make a stand. And say, you know what? I'm going to stand again. I'm going to fight again. I am not going to quit. I will not give up this fight. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. Because there's power in Christ. And even though I failed, or even though it's not the way I want it to, or even though I'm not seeing the results, man, I am not seeing the results I want to see. It doesn't matter what I see. What matters is that Christ calls me to be faithful. And I am going to fight this fight until the very end. So if you agree with that today, and this is something that you know the word is speaking to you, we're going to stand in a minute, and I'm going to pray, and we're going to begin again. We're going to take up a sword again. Maybe you've laid that sword down. You're going to pick up the sword again and say, that's it. I'm fighting again. You are not going to win. You hear me? You are not going to win. I am not going to listen to that voice of the enemy anymore. I'm going to keep praying for my daughter. There's someone here today. You got to pray for your daughter. I don't know who you are. You quit praying. You've given her over. Pray for her. Don't stop. Do not stop. Don't quit. Pray for her. If you're hearing God right now, I want you to stand. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? You ready to fight? You ready to choose life? Amen? Then stand up right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray right now. Lord, we want to take up the sword. We want to take up the shield. And we declare today, because of the power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ that is in me, I will not give up, because you never gave up, Jesus. And we just declare today that as you convict us and as you remind us that you call us to fight this fight, that we're going to fight the fight. We're going to run this race. And we repent where we've lost faith. We repent where we have lost heart. We repent where we have not forged ahead. But we are determined by the power that you give us. Not by our willpower, not by our own determination, but by the power of Jesus that lives in me, that we are going to run this race until the very end. Until the very end. And we will not give up. And that we do this together, because you put us in this body. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And you lay that on our hearts right now. That daughter who's wandered from you. That daughter who's involved in all kinds of things she should not be involved in. And we're so disappointed in her. But she's yours. And we choose life today. For the person here today who has been thinking about death, we choose life. We make a stand today choosing life, choosing Jesus, choosing to follow you, God. And that's our prayer. Jesus, would you please just lead the way? Jesus, would you just please show us where you're going so that we can go with you? Jesus, would you help our ears today to hear you say those two words, follow me, so that we can follow you faithfully. We pray that the hunger, Lord, that's in us would be a hunger that will grow. And the brokenness and the pain and the mourning and the suffering God, that every day you'll give us what we need to endure. And finally, Lord Jesus, we pray that we would walk in the power that you have made available. We declare it today, like Paul, that you have all the authority. You have all the dominion. You have all the power. You have all the glory, because you are Jesus. You are the Lord of lords, and you are the King of kings. There is nothing that we want apart from you. There is nothing that is lacking in our lives when you reign in them. And so we make a stand today saying, Lord Jesus, we're following you. And where we have not fought, we are going to fight again. Where we have not pressed on, man, we're going to press into this now. We are going to press, Lord, into you. We will not let this fall again. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Why don't we all stand and ask the worship team. We're going to finish with a song about God's grace. There's nothing like God's grace. Amen. We're only saved because of that. I know that God's touching some of our hearts right now. I just want to remind you that He loves you. He loves you. And just think about this. Just as the song gets, as they get ready here, just remember this thought. He never gave up on you. Right? Did Jesus ever give up on you? Did Jesus ever give up on me? No. I mean, there's a part of us that might think, well, he should have, right? We deserved it, but he never gives up. He does not give up. He does not give up on you. What right do you have to give up on yourself? Right? Karina, what right do you have? Don't give up on yourself. You've been giving up on yourself, right? I can see it. Don't give up. You have no right to give up. You are a child of God. You are a daughter of the King. You're loved by God. He doesn't care about what happened yesterday. He just loves you. And that's true for all of us. Right, Dee? He loves you. Man, he loves you. It's time to fight. It's time to press on. Let's sing this song. Grace like rain.